Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
And now, your daily dose of debate, breaking news, and uncensored views. This is the Michael Medved Show.
And another great day in this greatest nation on God's green earth, a great nation where we are guaranteed inalienable rights by our Declaration of Independence and, yes, by our Constitution. One of those inalienable rights in the Declaration is the pursuit of happiness. Now, a lot of people pursued happiness last night. Not quite 10 million people, the all-time lowest ratings ever, trying to watch the Oscars. We will talk about that and play you some highlights and lowlights of the Oscars ceremony. But first, a more direct view of pursuing happiness with Arthur Brooks, who wrote the book on the subject. He wrote about our gross national happiness. And he has a new book coming out. I'm sure to be a bestseller, like his books tend to be. This is coming out in January, and it's about how to find happiness and satisfaction during the second half of life. Arthur Brooks is an endowed professor at Harvard University, at the Kennedy School of Government and Politics, and the Harvard Business School as well. For 10 years, he was the extraordinarily successful head of the American Enterprise Institute. He's also a friend of mine and a friend of the show. Arthur, congratulations also on the Happiness Podcast, which is in pursuit of happiness, right? Just tell us first just a little bit about that.
Thank you, Michael. How wonderful to be with you. How much I just miss you. In this COVID time, I haven't been able to come out to my beloved native home, Seattle, and to see my friend Michael Medved. But, you know, soon we'll all be free again, I think. Don't you hope?
No, God willing. I assume you've gotten the vaccines?
Yeah, well, I'm a half vax. I have one more shot to go. But as everybody knows at this point, even the first shot gives you 80% protection and lowers the likelihood of it being really dreadful by a lot. So, thank God. I mean, and once again, you know, all these people trashing American capitalism, how we can't live up to the standards of China of locking people down by taking away their freedoms. And, you know, the truth is that it was capitalism, the pharmaceutical companies, and the innovation that actually comes from a dynamic market economy that's going to wind up saving the world, like always, right, Michael?
Yeah, America comes in. It's we were talking before you got on the show a little bit about the 7th Cavalry, but it's like the cavalry coming in when it's needed most to rescue people. That seems to be America's historic role. Okay, you have this fantastic piece in Atlantic Magazine under the heading "Don't Wish for Happiness, Work for It," and you're not saying that people shouldn't wish for happiness. It's kind of natural to do so, but that wishing by itself is not enough and may even be counterproductive if it's not accompanied by working for happiness. How do you make the distinction between those two ideas?
Well, everybody has had a friend who's constantly complaining about her job. Yeah, my job is terrible. My boss is awful. I can't stand my colleagues. And after a while, you say, so what are you doing to find a new job? And the person says, we've all known people like this. Is that, well, nothing. Like, so why are you just complaining about your job? There are lots of people who wish for things but don't do the work for them. And this is kind of a lazy, un-American type of thing to do. This is a country that was largely based on the idea of self-improvement. Self-improvement is not wishing you are better off. It's working so that you'll be better off. That's what a country largely based on immigration is. Getting on a boat. I mean, it's like, you know, 0% chance that the Medveds were, you know, looking for a better system of forced income redistribution or were some sort of, you know, landed gentry. And they're trying to get away from pogroms and and the alienation that came from living in a society that rejected them, the same with the Brookses, the same with the rest of us. This is a self-improvement country. And self-improvement is basically saying, if I do the work, I can better my lot. When it comes to happiness, it's exactly the same formula. The data are very clear that people who simply wish they were happier, they're brooding about their unhappiness and getting unhappier. But people who actually do the work to understand how happiness works, to get their happiness hygiene, thinking about the institutions that bring it, faith, family, friendship, hard work, and sharing it with others, these are the people who can absolutely bring up their happiness. I have the data, and I'm completely sure it's true.
What about the ability of government and politics, particularly in an era when there's so many people on both sides who are so passionately invested in politics? Can politics have an impact in building, facilitating happiness?
Yeah, so politics and government are two things that are really worth thinking about. Politics can absolutely affect happiness. It can just reliably make you unhappy. That's how politics affects happiness. The more you think about politics, the less happy you're going to be. It's just true. And I've been looking at these data for years and years and years. There's nothing that can make you happier by thinking about politics, particularly national politics. And the reason for this is because you'll be thinking about things that make you angry and that are out of your control. You'll wind up feeling helpless. You'll find yourself being sort of separated from the people around you who disagree with you. You'll blow up differences that shouldn't be big among family members and close friends. People, you know, one in six Americans has stopped talking to a close friend or family member because of politics since 2016, which is a net source of unhappiness. So the key thing that I tell people is, like, vote, pay attention, be a good citizen, and stop thinking so much about politics. Now, policy is different. The key thing to keep in mind about policy and government action is that government can never, never, never make you happier. The only thing it can ever do is make you less unhappy by taking away certain sources of unhappiness if you're poor. That's it. And so anything above that is a pipe dream. It's a mistake. Stalin called himself the guarantor of happiness. Is there anything more ironic than that in human history? Any government official who says, we will bring you happiness, is lying to you.
Okay, I think most conservatives instinctively know that. What about the idea that providing more education can provide more happiness? So right now there's a big push by President Biden to expand guarantees of education into free junior college, free pre-K. Can that help build human happiness?
Well, more education where there is very little is a good way to lower the sources of unhappiness, because ignorance and a lack of human capital, a lack of productivity means that people are poor, that people are ignorant, they're making choices they shouldn't make. So once again, this is really about ruling out unhappiness. Education is a very good thing so that we can build lives together that are more prosperous and have more adventure and have more opportunity. But once again, all the government is doing is creating kind of an ecosystem for it. Now, one thing I'll point out is that the way that usually the government wants to do this is by basically throwing money out of a helicopter, doing ways that it's not very targeted. It's not going to have a very big effect. It's going to cost a lot of money, and most of us are going to wind up paying a lot more in taxes to pay for very, very little return. You know, one of the things that we know is that the strategy for helping people get ahead through more and more public education is largely just enriched a lot of public sector unions. And the product measured by the competency of the American public has really not gone up and in many cases gone down over the past 50 years. So the track record on this when it comes to happiness is not very good.
We're speaking to Dr. Arthur Brooks. He is an economist, a professor at Harvard, and one of the true gurus and experts and prophets of building happiness. When we come back, I want to focus on two things that are mentioned in his column in Atlantic, which we post up at our website at michaelmedved.com. Two things that individuals can fasten upon as strategies to maximize their personal happiness. What two things should you do differently? We'll get to that with Arthur Brooks. To put it simply, materialism is the attempt to prove that human beings are merely meat in motion, and that we have no free will, that we have no souls, that morality and religion are simply evolutionary artifacts programmed by nature for survival, and that our very thoughts and ideas can be fully explained by our brain chemistry. Darwin's theory of evolution made scientific atheism credible by offering a scientific explanation on how human beings could be generated through a blind process of random variation and natural selection. At discovery.org/Medved, you can get a free mini book, free, Darwin's Three Big Ideas That Impacted Humanity. It explores how three key concepts from Darwin undermine morality, religion, medicine, the criminal justice system, and the value of human life. Get your free book at discovery.org/Medved. That's discovery.org/Medved. Small investors shamed Wall Street by running the price of certain stocks way up to the detriment of big hedge funds, social media, and trading platforms, then kept investors from buying stock. A financial war is being waged in America. With all this volatility, now's an even better time to protect your net worth and own precious metals as part of your portfolio. Nick Rovich, who's the owner of Amfed Coin and Bullion, has always been fair and honest with my precious metals holdings, and now, more than ever, it's a good time to own tangible assets like gold, silver, and platinum. Amfed can show you smart choices, which have been proven winners time and time again. Call Nick and his team at Amfed today, 800-221-7694. That's 800-221-7694, or visit AmericanFederal.com.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutriMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
Schools are opening. So much opportunity to share not just memories of 2020, but germs. Worrying about your child bringing a cold or flu home is a thing of the past. Today, we have to be concerned about COVID. That's why you need to be sure your kids are protected in their school with the one-of-a-kind patented Safe Air Network equipment that continuously decontaminates not only air, but all surfaces. 99.9% decontamination in 3 minutes to begin with, and then continuously, so if any of the air or surfaces get recontaminated, no worries. Safe Air Network is not only the only system that cleans air and surfaces, it's chemical free and 100% safe to use in an occupied room. The equipment is plug and purify, the easiest equipment to use as soon as it is received. Contact Safe Air Network now at safeairnetwork.com. That's safeairnetwork.com.
And on the Michael Medved Show, it's a great joy to have my friend Arthur Brooks. He is the author of a wonderful column. It's one of those columns you'll want to save, actually clip and share with people. It's called Don't Wish for Happiness, Work for It. It was just published in Atlantic Magazine. It's also linked at our website at michaelmedved.com. Arthur, quick advice for folks, and one of the things that you talk about in your column is that sharing happiness advice with people is a way to build your own happiness. You've done research on this. There's actually an accumulation of pretty good science on happiness. What are two things people can do, just as we're in the last stages of this pandemic nightmare? What are two things people can do to make themselves happier?
Great question. I've been thinking an awful lot about that. To begin with, one of the main things that people are suffering about, and by the way, for people who want a lot of these tips, I have a column every Thursday morning in The Atlantic. So just go to theatlantic.com and you can, it's called How to Build a Life. Every morning at 6 a.m., every Thursday morning at 6 a.m., I have a whole column of ideas. And so here are just a couple. For people who are suffering a lot because of loneliness, and a lot of people are, loneliness is funny. It can sneak up on you. A lot of people don't realize how lonely they are. And it's this sense of isolation, a sense of being alienated from other people, of being removed. And one of the reasons for that is there's a neurochemical, there's a neurotransmitter produced by the human brain called oxytocin. It's intensely pleasurable. You get it when you have eye contact or touch with another person. And we have a scarcity of it. We don't have enough of it, and that's one of the reasons that people are suffering a lot. So one of the things that I recommend is that for the people that you're socially isolating with, most of us don't live alone. Some do, but most don't, is that you actually need to have more contact than you otherwise would. I recommend that every 2 hours you have a 20-second hug therapeutically. And again, this is just, you're only going to hear this on the Michael Medved show, my friends. Hug the person you live with for 20 seconds. That will maximize your blood oxytocin levels, and it will give you a level of satisfaction that you're not going to expect, but it will be quite tangible. The second thing is to use Zoom and Facebook, not just for work, but actually for social reasons as well, and to carve out 30 to 45 minutes at the end of each day and schedule talks that you have with your friends so that you can see each other in the eyes, which will also raise your blood oxytocin levels. These are things that you can do that will really help a lot as we come out of the coronavirus epidemic. The second thing that I recommend that people do is to think not just about the things that you miss from before the epidemic, but about the things that you don't miss from before the epidemic and that you don't plan to go back to. This is really important so life doesn't just snap back and we don't make any improvements. Likewise, people are often thinking about the things they hate about the epidemic, but think about the things in your life that you actually like a little bit and things that you plan to keep. So make a strategic plan for the next year saying, I am not going to go back to these five things, and I'm going to keep these five things. It will be really satisfying to make that list, and you're going to actually have a better life coming out, maybe, than you even had going in.
You know, it's fascinating because when you were speaking before about using Zoom and using the Internet not just for work, which we all do, but for personal contact, one thing that my brothers and I started, I have three younger brothers who are among the most wonderful people and fascinating and brilliant people I know. And we live in different cities, all of us. And my brother Jonathan lives in Jerusalem, Israel, and my brother Ben is in Northern California, and our youngest brother Harry is in the L.A. area. But Harry, the youngest, got this great idea of doing a monthly reunion. And again, for people who are isolated from family members, this has been just a gift from God. It's wonderful. And
Again,
because there's nobody who has shared as much of your childhood with you, for most people, as one of your siblings. You were saying, Arthur.
No, absolutely. It's just an incredible thing how certain families have actually gotten closer together simply because the new technologies have improved so much, and they've used the pandemic as an excuse to make deeper contact. This is something that we can all learn, and we shouldn't let the next few months slip by. We're in the last few months. We're in the twilight of the coronavirus pandemic. I mean, certain things are going to stick with us. I think that probably we're going to be encouraged to wear masks for a long time. But the worst things about this epidemic are largely going to be behind us in the coming months. So use the last few months to try to cement in certain things that have been better and make a resolution. I'm not going to let these things go. And I'm not going to go back to some of these things that I didn't like before. Now, some people are telling me it's pretty interesting. I mean, people ask my happiness advice a lot because of what I write about. And they'll ask me, you know, what should I do about a job that I didn't really like before the coronavirus epidemic? And now that I'm like going in, I'm kind of virtual, it's better. I said, well, you should be looking for a new job is the answer. If you don't want to go back to the office, don't go back to the office. Go back to some other office. You know, now is the time, if you can, and not everybody can, but if you can, to think about the place where you want to live, the place where your heart really is, and look for a new adventure if you're looking for that. It's now is time to be kind of an immigrant, to be kind of an entrepreneur, to be a little bit of a cowboy, and to think about your life as more of an adventure, because this transition that we've gone through, you know, all bets are off. You can do more than you think to make changes.
What about people who aren't really thinking about adventure? They're thinking about survival. They don't have enough money to pay the bills. They're worried about when the pandemic is over being evicted from wherever they are. What do you do for folks in that situation about maximizing happiness?
Well, that's a horrible situation, to be sure. And, you know, thank God most of the people listening to us have not, you know, lost their jobs or had somebody near them die of the coronavirus, although certainly some have. And under those circumstances, that's when we need to turn as much as we possibly can to the love of people close to us, of our family and friends. And we need to basically double down on the institutions that reliably bring happiness. And there are really only four. There's a big science on this, and you'd think there were 1,000 things that can bring happiness, but it's not true. There's only four things that reliably bring happiness. These are the happiness habits that we all have. And it doesn't matter if you're sick or well or rich or poor or old or young. It's all the same. And those four things are your faith, your family, your friendship, and your work in which you're serving other people. Now, we all face challenges, and we all have things that are bringing us down. And some people, you're right, Michael, who are listening to us, who are not in a position to move. They're not in a position to see this as an adventure. But all of us is in a position to redouble our faith, to cultivate our spiritual lives, to deepen our friendships, to cherish the families that we have, and to think about the work that we have as an opportunity to serve our fellow men and women, particularly those who have less than we do. And if we do those things, I can guarantee that all of us are going to see big happiness benefits.
Well, we're going to try to collect on that guarantee by having you back as soon as we can. The one, the only Arthur Brooks. Read his great column. Comes out regularly in Atlantic Magazine. The latest edition is posted at our website at michaelmedved.com. Now, what about the Oscars? A source of happiness, celebration, joy, or something else? We'll get to that coming up.
From politics to pop culture and from coast to coast, this is the Michael Medved Show.
I tried other brands, but I came back to my sunshine.
For the best hot or cold pain relief, get the best. Get a Sunny Bay heating pad.
Sometimes life can be a pain in the neck. Or back, or shoulder.
And the best relief for that pain is a Sunny Bay heating pad. Did you know that the American College of Physicians said that one of the best ways to treat muscle pain is heat therapy? Sunny Bay heating pads are handmade with high quality, can be used at home or at work, and have a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy.
Why take another pill?
Many people use our Sunny Bay heating pads alone and got rid of the neck pain.
Long distance travel or long hours in front of a computer can take toll on your body.
Our homegrown small business tries to help people just like us. That's why we design and test our handmade products with great care before we introduce them to the public. You can easily find Sunny Bay heating pads on Amazon. Just go to Amazon.com and search for Sunny Bay heating pads.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
Texas is a big winner in the 2020 census results, which are out today.
Six states will gain seats in the House of Representatives. Texas will gain 2 seats, and Colorado, Florida, Montana, North Carolina, and Oregon will each gain 1 seat.
The Census Bureau's acting director, Ron Jarman, saying 7 states will lose seats in Congress. That includes California, Illinois, Michigan, New York, Ohio, Pennsylvania, and West Virginia. The White House is previewing President Biden's speech for Wednesday's joint address to Congress.
The president has been working over the last couple of days, as he will be over the next two, on his speech. He's deeply involved in the development of his speech.
White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki telling reporters Biden will lay out the details of the American Families Plan and will also mention a range of priorities in the coming months. This is USA Radio News.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamil Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At GCN Team, we should change the Healthy Body, Brain, and Heart Pack to the Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. danpilla.com.
America loves him.
Americans love a winner.
Hollywood hates him.
You're a cheap, lousy, dirty, stinking mug.
Michael Medved.
And on the Michael Medved show, the initial ratings are in from Nielsen. They don't count yet the numbers of people who may have been streaming the Oscars at home. But the Nielsen ratings for TV, well, it's not lots and lots of people out in what used to be called Tinseltown who are singing this particular song.
This would give me another decade of not having to behave myself.
Hooray for Hollywood.
I'm the king of the world.
He's super coney Hollywood. They come
well,
from Chillicothe.
Despite the fact that there were a number of surprises, there were some outrageous ball gowns and one particular shocking pink tuxedo that was worn. There were the usual distractions and silliness, but a more than a ever-before level of incompetence. The headline over in Daily Beast says, strangest Oscars ever, from snubbing Chadwick Boseman, who passed away, of course, tragically, to the butt and the bizarre stage. The reference to the butt is Glenn Close in what clearly has to be the nadir of her career, playing a quiz game where she very, very obviously was rehearsed and prompted and then ended up dancing a dance of debut from Spike Lee's School Days. And you may say, what's Spike Lee's School Days? It was his second movie. It's from long ago. almost no one has seen it. And but apparently there was a big tribute to Spike Lee. The Oscars were held at Union Station mostly, and most of the goings-on were there. For the second year in a row, there was a decision not to have a host. There were various people who went up there. The first person to go up there and to introduce the entire program and put it in context was Regina King, who had been nominated for an Oscar last year for If Beale Street Could Talk. She was the director of the Best Picture nominated this year, One Night in Miami. And here's the way she opened the ceremonies, clip four.
I have to be honest. If things had gone differently this past week in Minneapolis, I might have traded in my heels for marching boots. Right. Now, I know that a lot of you people at home want to reach for your remote when you feel like Hollywood is preaching to you. But as a mother of a black son, I know the fear that so many live with, and no amount of fame or fortune changes that.
Okay, and that theme was hit home shortly thereafter by a director named Trayvon Free, who had something to say about police brutality in the acceptance speech, the thank you speech, for his live-action short film, which is called Two Distant Strangers. It's a film about a young black guy who's caught in a deadly time loop with an abusive white cop. And here's what Trayvon Free had to say.
Today, the police will kill three people. And tomorrow, the police will kill three people. And the day after that, the police will kill three people, because on average, the police in America every day kill three people, which amounts to about 1,000 people a year. And those people happen to disproportionately be black people.
Okay. Wilfred Riley, a frequent guest on this show, actually posted a very smart tweet on that subject. And he said this: police stop about 95,000 people every day around the country. That's 35 million per year. Ordinary citizens kill 55 people every day. 8,000 to 9,000 people just die every day from various causes. Also, kill, he writes, doesn't mean murder. About 90% of those killed by police are either armed or attacking an officer or another citizen. The total number of unarmed black people killed by police last year, 2020, 18. And a lot of those, well, you hear about. The other 95,000 people a day who are stopped by police, you tend not to hear about. To me, the finest moment, the best moment of the entire Oscars was for Tyler Perry. He's well known for making those comedies about Medea, who was played by him, who is a wise and somewhat salty older black woman. And Tyler Perry has built his own studio. He's built his own company. He's creative. And he's also sympathetic in many of his films to a Christian point of view. And he won an award for his prodigious charitable contributions to helping people with schooling, helping people with medical needs all around the country. He is really a great philanthropist. And he said this in receiving his special Oscar, the Jean Hersholt Humanitarian Award. Here's what he had to say.
My mother taught me to refuse hate. She taught me to refuse blanket judgment. And in this time, and with all of the internet and social media and algorithms and everything that wants us to think a certain way, the 24-hour news cycle, it is my hope that all of us would teach our kids, and not only to remember, just refuse hate. Don't hate anybody. I refuse to hate someone because they are Mexican or because they are black or white. Or LGBTQ. I refuse to hate someone because they are a police officer. I refuse to hate someone because they are Asian. I would hope that we would refuse hate. And I want to take this Jean Herschel Humanitarian Award and dedicate it to anyone who wants to stand in the middle, no matter what's around the wall, stand in the middle, because that's where healing happens. That's where conversation happens. That's where change happens. It happens in the middle. So anyone who wants to meet me in the middle, to refuse hate, to refuse blanket judgment, and to help lift someone's feet off the ground, this one is for you too. God bless you, and thank you, Academy. I appreciate it. Thank you.
It doesn't get much better or more needed than that. And again, it almost took away the sting of the rest of the evening and the jumbling with the schedule. But you'll notice for a very prominent black leader like Tyler Perry to say refuse to hate someone just because he's a policeman. In this climate, that is prodigiously courageous to say, come meet me in the middle. Isn't that really what we need most in American politics? President Biden, you ought to listen to that. And when you're giving your speech on Thursday night, come meet in the middle, because it's the only way to make progress. So why, in a less positive moment, were there a number of prominent people, including the Oscar winner for Best Actress, who were howling on stage? Oh, yeah, really that. What was that about? We will tell you that secret. And why it was maybe that Chadwick Boseman, who was, of course, Black Panther, and played Jackie Robinson so well, such a wonderful actor, in a great performance, why didn't he get Best Actor as everyone expected? We'll get to that and more on The MedVet Show.
I've had several knee injuries on my left knee, and so over time, stiffness set in with a great deal of pain. So I went ahead and ordered the starter packet, and after about 2 weeks, I started noticing results. And after they were gone and I reordered, let's say 6 weeks in, my pain was virtually gone. But the big bonus was that the stiffness was also virtually gone. And so, therefore, my problem with my left hip also went away. I'm very happy I decided to try it and will continue to use it.
You can get a 3-week quick start for just $19.95. That's 95 cents a day. What a good investment. Nothing to lose but your pain and the whole world to gain. You can go to michaelmedved.com, click on the banner for Relief Factor. That's michaelmedved.com, banner for Relief Factor, or call 833 toll free 654 pain, 833 654 pain. As the nation pivots from the Trump administration to the reality of the Biden administration, Americans seem divided as never before. What does our country even believe in common anymore? One organization that continues to stand for what America has always believed is the Institute for Faith and Freedom at Grove City College. This institute stands for the first things, the permanent things, for religious liberty, for freedom of conscience, for family, for limited government, for free markets, for our nation's Judeo-Christian heritage. Go to the website faithandfreedom.com, and you will see insightful, bold opinion pieces from the renowned faculty at Grove City College in Pennsylvania. See Mark Hendrickson's latest on GameStop, Wall Street, and the hedge fund managers. See John Sparks and former Deputy Attorney General Paul McNulty on impeachment. And take a look at our friend Paul Kanger's articles and speeches. There are lots of them. You can find all this and much more at the website of the Institute for Faith and Freedom. That's faithandfreedom.com. Again, faithandfreedom.com.
Hey, everybody. If you've ever thought about heirloom beans as a storable survival food, I've got great news. In fact, I'll bet it's the best news you've heard in a while. Here's the thing. We've just received a fresh batch of gourmet heirloom beans, survival soup beans. These beans are gorgeous, highly nutritious, and above all, with no hesitation whatsoever, the best tasting beans in the entire world. The best part? We've dropped the price by 33% this week for listeners who know higher food prices are coming and want an inflation hedge you can actually eat if you want to. Gets even better. With your permission and with a high regard for your health and well-being, I also want to send you 2 pounds of what we think is the single most underrated superfood in the world, period. Go to soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com, and discover the real reason we're giving this unusual superfood away at soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com.
If you're trying to quit drinking or doing too many drugs, listen to me. You don't know me and we'll never meet. I had a problem like you once. I drank and used to party a little too much till it got out of control and almost ruined my life. I realized I needed help to fix my problem before it totally destroyed me. If you've tried to fix your drinking and drug problem and you know you can't do it alone, you need to call the National Treatment Advisors. They'll immerse you into a 30-day program to replace your old habits with new habits and totally change your life. And if you have PPO private health insurance, the entire program may be covered. Fix your problem right now before it gets any worse. Get clean. Call now and learn more. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252.
On the Michael Medved show, in a column in the Daily Beast, that I'm singling out the Daily Beast because this is the most positive thing I've read anywhere about this Oscar show. The show was awful. I mean, it was by a wide margin of advantage the worst ever. And it wasn't just the lack of a host. It was the lack of any fun factor. It was a downer and a guilt inducer. Kevin Fallon at Daily Beast writes, I've never been so frustrated by it. That was inevitable given the circumstances circling the now infamous pandemic Oscars, but also to a handful of chaotic producing decisions. Where was the comedy? Could that whiplash-inducing in memoriam segment have been more disrespectful? I mean, literally, you couldn't even look at the faces quickly. It's just boom, 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 and unsuitable music. And Best Picture before Best Actor and Actress? Absolute nonsense. Well, part of that Best Picture before Best Actor and Actress involved Frances McDormand, who was the star of Nomadland, which won Best Picture. And which is a good film. It's a very sad film. It's a very bleak film, but it's powerful. In any event, on stage, right after giving a brief speech about Nomadland winning Best Picture, it sounded like this.
I'm Fran. Please watch our movie on the largest screen possible, and one day, very, very soon, take everyone you know into a theater, shoulder to shoulder, in that dark space, and watch every film that's represented here tonight. We give this one to our wolf.
No, that was her saying, we give this one to our wolf, and then to, okay, what was that about? The sound mixer on the film was a young man I'd never heard of before named Michael Wolf Snyder, who was known as Wolf, who right after they finished the film, or actually it was after the film was released, he committed suicide. And at age 34, it's very sad. He had been suffering from depression for a long time. His father was a psychiatrist. Sad story. But this is nuts. I mean, we give this one to our wolf, and they start howling. Now, this is kind of a reference that a very, very small number of people are going to get. There's also a very small number of people who would understand why they changed the order of things. The way that the Oscars usually work, and this is the way the first time it's ever been changed, is they do Best Director near the end. Here they did Best Director at the beginning. And now Chloe Zhao, the director of Nomadland, won. And they do at the very end, the grand finale, even when they blow that grand finale, as they did in that confusion between Moonlight and La La Land, which you may remember. But they do at the very end, Best Picture. Here they did Best Picture before they did Best Actor and before they did Best Actress. And so what that meant is last year's winner for Best Actor, Joaquin Phoenix, who won for an awful film that I thoroughly disliked called The Joker, he announced Best Actor this way. It was supposed to be Chadwick Boseman, the late actor who died tragically, enormously gifted, who I think gave the best performance of anybody in his film Ma Rainey's Black Bottom. He was outstanding. But instead it went to Anthony Hopkins, who, because of his advanced age and frail condition, wasn't able to make the trip. He wasn't there. From a dementia and Alzheimer's movie, fun for the whole family, called The Father. Joaquin Phoenix announced the award. Number six.
I'm supposed to talk about acting, and specifically the transformative moment when an actor discovers the character and fully embodies it. But I don't really know anything about that. I don't think that I've ever really had that experience. So I think the only thing that I can say with sincerity is that when I watch these five performances, I feel inspired, and it's a shame that we have to choose just one. So.
Okay, and then they chose Anthony Hopkins. The reason that Joaquin Phoenix was up there to close the show and was because he had won Best Actor last time. One of the reasons the ratings are so low, the ratings among the key demographic, which is 25 to 54, that's what they're looking for, are down 64%. This is by far, the lowest rated Oscar show ever. And part of it is because last year was such a stinker. Last year, River Phoenix was up there, and River Phoenix was his brother, who we mourned last time. He sounded like this when he was talking about his Best Actor acceptance speech for The Joker, but he wasn't joking. Listen.
And I think at times we feel, or we're made to feel, that we champion different causes. But for me, I see commonality. I think whether we're talking about gender inequality or racism or queer rights or indigenous rights or animal rights, we're talking about the fight against injustice. I think that we've become very disconnected from the natural world. And many of us, what we're guilty of is an egocentric worldview, the belief that we're the center of the universe. We go into the natural world and we plunder it for its resources. We feel entitled to artificially inseminate a cow, and when she gives birth, we steal her baby, even though her cries of anguish are unmistakable. And then we take her milk that's intended for her calf, and we put it in our coffee and our cereal.
There's another kind of beast who's featured in one of the big new Hulu offerings for streaming. It's a 3-episode series, which, of course, I was looking at with unnatural interest. Listen.
Now it's time for MedVed's Entertainment Minute.
An investigative journalist goes back 25 years to try to solve a triple homicide where the alleged culprit is supposed to be Bigfoot. That's the setup for a 3-episode documentary series on HBO Max. It's called Sasquatch.
There's always been rumors of legendary violence.
The story of Sasquatchers has been with us from the very beginning.
And the very beginning of the film, where they speak to some experts about the existence or mythical status of Sasquatch, represent its strongest elements. But then this handsomely produced documentary takes a long, inconclusive wander into the odd world of marijuana farmers, which has nothing to do with the mysteries of Bigfoot, and provides no definitive answers about the possible but unproven murders at the center of the story. Rated TV mature for violent and drug-related elements, only 2 stars for the disappointing and mediocre Sasquatch. And again, for me to really tell you, don't bother with something with the title Sasquatch, don't bother. It's, by the way, watching that thing is almost as long as watching the Oscars, and almost as satisfying. Okay, 2 things quickly about the Oscars. One of the insiders that I spoke to, one of the reasons they think that Anthony Hopkins beat Chadwick Boseman for Best Actor, despite all the predictions that Chadwick Boseman, as a memorial to him, his last chance to win an Oscar for a great career, is because Chadwick Boseman's film was on Netflix. And the Academy doesn't like movies that aren't made for theaters, that are made for streaming. And they tend to prefer things that have some kind of studio connection that are going to help bring theaters back. The other mystery is, why did they move Best Actor to the end? Because they were very sure they needed an ending for this thing, because it just kind of stopped. And they wanted to do this big emotional ending as a tribute to Chadwick Boseman, and people would have been moved by it. And they might have had his wife or someone else come up to accept the award. And they were as shocked as anybody else that Anthony Hopkins won. Sir Anthony is a wonderful actor. Nothing against him. Nothing against Ralph Peters, who will join us talking about repeating the mistakes of Vietnam in Afghanistan. And a former U.S. senator is in trouble for making disrespectful remarks about the contributions of Native Americans to American culture. We'll debate it and much more next time in This Greatest Nation on God's Green Earth.
My name is Lily. My mom and dad used to fight about money all the time. Then one day, I heard them talking about this guy, some uncle I never knew, called Uncle Sam. Well, they say this Uncle Sam guy wanted them to pay him like a gazillion dollars, and they didn't have a gazillion dollars. So they called this company they heard on the radio called The Tax Doctor. And The Tax Doctor worked with Uncle Sam's people. I think they're called the IRS. And they are able to work it out so my mom and dad didn't have to pay Uncle Sam very much money at all. So now mom and dad are happy, and I'm happy too. Thanks, Tax Doctor.
If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS or state, call now and pay less. 800-391-8713. 800-391-8713. That's 800-391-8713.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
We've all seen and perhaps used the alcohol-based hand sanitizers. Have you noticed how it dries your skin and as soon as the alcohol evaporates, it's no longer effective. GCNteam.com has alcohol-free antibacterial soap and foam meeting or exceeding all requirements set forth by the United States Food and Drug Administration. Come to GCNteam.com, keyword antibacterial, or call 877-878-4203.